Welcome to a very special Intentional Living. It's Good Friday. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a conference speaker, coach, and your advocate for the family. Much of the staff is off today as we focus on the great salvation that Jesus brings. But you can still call our toll-free line and leave your story. 1-888-888-1717. And now, here's Randy.
Hey, thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Good Friday. You know, the program today, we're going to be talking about God's intentional love, His eternal love for you on the cross, where Jesus Christ gave His life for you. He gave His life for me. It is the greatest expression of His intentional love and forgiveness ever demonstrated. And today we're going to hear some stories to remind us of that. And I'm thinking of 1 Peter 1, a couple verses, 18 and 20. For the scripture says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which will lose its value. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days, He has been revealed for your sake." What a powerful message. And that's the message today. And we've got some readings coming up from some friends of the ministry, Linda Swindling, King Hoover, Rod Robison, a member of our board, Lori Allen, Robert McFarlane, and the late Dr. Greg Jantz, who passed away in 2025. And what better way to remember him than in a program about the resurrection of Jesus Christ on this Good Friday.
Psalm 22, beginning at verse 1.
My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him."
Matthew 27, verses 39 through 43 and 46.
The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now, if he wants him." At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?"
Psalm 22, verses 11 through 15.
"Do not stay far from me, for trouble is near, and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open up their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You laid me in the dust and left me for dead."
Matthew 26, verses 55 and 56.
Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures." At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18.
"My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all of my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing."
John 19, verses 23 and 24.
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from the top to the bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did.
You know, as we hear the scripture being read by some of our contributors, I was making note of the verses in the book of Psalms. Psalm 22, verse 1, for instance, reminds us where the scripture says, my God, why have you abandoned me? We hear that even prophetically long before Christ hung on the cross for you and me. But it made me think about God's experiences through his son Christ as he felt abandoned as he went to the cross because of all the weight of sin that was put upon him, that he experienced what you and I experience. Often we feel abandoned, we feel lost, we feel overwhelmed. But to know that he chose to do that for you and for me, it's a powerful thing. You know, I can remember as a child often wondering, how could we call this a good Friday? It sounds like a bad Friday to me, right? I mean, a lousy Friday, terrible Friday. Because he was willing to take the pain, the humiliation, and the sacrifice of the cross and die for us, and then come back to life as a result of that, that's a good Friday. Not for him, but for us. That's what Good Friday is all about. You know, the death of Christ on the cross is how God brought us salvation. And over the minutes ahead, we're not only going to hear Old Testament prophecy on God's intentional love, but we're going to hear stories from the here and now of people, real people, listeners of Intentional Living, who are finding God's intentional love in Christ, just like Jeff. Take a listen.
My alcohol use, it was pretty bad for 33 years. When I was 15 years old, I left the church, got in with the wrong crowd, and I started using drugs and alcohol, and really, alcohol was really the problem for 33 years, like I say, and I've used just about any kind of drugs I could get my hands on. It was a very dark time for me, actually. I had an uncle who was, he was one of my drinking buddies, and we played music together, and he developed cirrhosis of the liver, and he died from it, and that really scared me because I drank very heavily, and he did also, and it took me still another couple of years after that before I realized that I was going to die too if I didn't do something really soon. It really was a very rude awakening, and it scared me a lot, but it didn't scare me enough, apparently, because, like I say, it took me another 2 years before I really started seriously considering stopping myself. I tried rehab several times. I had tried to quit on my own and was unsuccessful every time. And until I turned it over to the Lord, that's what finally did it for me. The only solution to my problem was just turning it all over to God, just saying, I'm helpless in this situation. I can't do it on my own. There's no program that's going to help me. I just have to leave it up to you, Lord. And he took all the desire, all the drugs and alcohol away from me. And I was clean. I just walked away from it and haven't used in almost 2 years now.
My grandmother, she is absolutely essential in what took place in my life. I used to run with a very intense motorcycle club, ran with them a lot of my life, lived a life of total debauchery and just had nothing to do with God whatsoever by choice. You know, my grandma, Randy, she never stopped praying. And for 21 years of my life, that woman prayed behind the scenes. One day when she was visiting, we drove by a church and she just said it. It was just very simple and very subtle. She just said, Perry, I think you should go in there someday. And I don't know, it was probably 6 months later. I just got into a hole, and it was a decision whether or not I was going to go back to alcohol and drugging really hard. You know, I didn't know what else to do. And I just started weeping, crying, just uncontrollably weeping, crying. And I couldn't drive anymore. So I pulled my truck over to the side of the road, and I reached my hands up, and I just cried out. And I said, God, I don't even know what your name is, but if you're out there, please show me something. Talk to me. And that came into my mind again. Perry, I think you should go in there someday. So I got back into my truck and I drove over to that church. And the pastor of that church was walking out of the sanctuary. He looked at me and with the most tender voice said, Son, Do you need a hug? I needed somebody to wrap their arms around me and tell me it'll be okay. And at that moment, I knew that was his voice. I knew that was him. I knew that he had answered my prayer and he was there. You know, my grandma, she never gave up on me. She never stopped praying, never.
Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3.
Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care.
Matthew 27, beginning in verse 1.
At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that he handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Do not have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of these two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him."
Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5.
Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed.
Isaiah 53, verses 6 through 9.
All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave.
John 15, verses 3 through 5.
And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed.
John 12, verses 27 and 28.
Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, "Father, save me from this hour"? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name.
Luke 23, verses 50 through 53.
Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judah, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock.
Hey, thank you, team, for sharing scripture with us that brings us back to the reality of what Good Friday and this weekend, this Easter celebration, is all about. Those last verses that Robert shared with us from Luke 23, where there was this good man, this righteous man named Joseph. Think of it. He was a member of the Jewish High Council. He was part of them. You know, he was part of the bad guys who really ultimately led to the crucifixion of Christ. But he was the one who said, "I want his body." He had a different way of viewing this. He was a man going to his own drummer, his own path. Joseph decided to swim upstream, as it were, against the wisdom of the group that he was a part of, because God was doing something in his life. And as I was hearing those verses read, I was thinking, man, how about you and me in this culture today that's taking us downstream? Think of it. I mean, it's easy just to jump in and flow right with the crowd. But here's a man, Joseph, who risk everything probably in doing what he did. He did it. He didn't do it quietly. He did it so everybody knew this was happening. I think he's underrated. Probably, I've never heard a message about this guy, where this man was willing to swim upstream against the conventional wisdom of his time and the group he was a part of, because his heart was in a different place. And I think one of the reasons on this Good Friday that we can celebrate and really, I think, embolden our faith to walk up a path maybe in opposite direction from everyone else, swim upstream in an opposite direction from everyone else, is because of God's intentional love for you and for me. We're hearing scripture that's encouraging my heart today. I hope it's yours as well from Intentional Living. And I love your stories. And Karen wants to share her story about loss and Christ's free gift of salvation and how we need to share his great love with others. Take a listen.
I used to do crack cocaine. I used to drink a lot. I was very bitter. I had lost my fiance a month before we were supposed to get married, and I just went crazy afterwards. Well, I've been saved since. Trying to live my life intentional, we have to remember that this is a free gift. It's not something we do through work. We realize that we need to just abide in Jesus, abide in God, and give our worries to him. It's freeing. It is freeing. People need to be reached more, and we need to find ways as Christians to do that, to walk as the body of Christ, to talk as the body of Christ, to love as the body of Christ.
What scripture in the Bible that I can go to and read to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? It's time for me to do it.
Romans 10, verse 13, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Is that something you'd like to do right now, James?
Yes, sir, I do.
Would it help if I prayed and you kind of followed this prayer, but let it come from your own life?
Yeah, that works better.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Carol. I just listened to your show where James from Alabama got saved. I'm just on cloud nine. And James, I hope you're listening. I just wanted to let you know that's the best thing that you'll ever do in your whole life. And when I think about you, I'll pray for God's strength for you. And I just wanted to tell you congratulations and welcome to the family.
Yo, and he said he felt like rolling the window down of that cement mixer and screaming. I drive a truck myself, and I was screaming myself.
When his call came in, I was pulling in my driveway from work, and I just sat there so intent on the conversation. It was so thrilling to be part of witnessing someone so sincere accepting the Lord as their Savior and to see how God used you in a mighty way. I sat there with tears of joy and praising God.
My heart is as overwhelmed once to come out. I drive a cement truck, and I probably just rolling out the window and screaming it out.
James and his family in the days ahead.
Just to hear him come home.
Welcome to the family.
Isaiah 50, verses 5 through 7.
The Sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame.
Mark 15, verses 19 and 20.
Again and again they struck him on his head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Psalm 69, verses 19 through 21.
You know how I am scorned, disgraced and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst.
John 19, verses 28 through 30.
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
You know, thanks again for sharing Scripture with us, Lori and King. And King was sharing with us several passages, including the end of the story. Well, maybe only the beginning of the story, actually, from John 19, where Jesus shared these three profound words on the cross: "It is finished." Now, there's a lot in those three words. Not only was it finished in that he died, you know, it is finished, he's also saying to the Father, "I have finished what you've sent me here to do." Well, maybe not quite yet, because I'm coming back to life on Easter, but this day is finished. I've taken the sin of all humanity. And I think for us, maybe we need to have words that would say something on this Good Friday: "It is now begun." You know, as a result of what Christ did on the cross on that Good Friday many, many years ago, it was finished, but it began a whole new chapter for those of us who've accepted the finished work of Christ on the cross, his burial and his resurrection that we'll celebrate on Easter. So when he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, as the Scripture says, we can raise our heads today in confidence, knowing what he did for us was certainly the greatest, most profound act of intentional love ever demonstrated for humanity. And in a moment, I want to share with you the importance of really coming to terms with the fact, while Christ finished his work, have you gotten to the place where you have made a decision to accept the profound work of Christ on the cross for you today? You may be hurting, you may be feel desperate, you may feel lost, but you know what? God's intentional love is real for you.
Hello, my name is Roxy, and I listen to Randy often when I'm in my car, and I was listening today, and you're talking about forgiveness. I recall about 24 years ago when my 16-year-old son was killed in a motorcycle accident. A truck drove out in front of his motorcycle and caused the accident, then left the scene of the accident. And the motorcyclist that was behind him hit him from behind, knocked him off of his bike, and he was killed. Both parties that were involved in that accident did not come to us and apologize. Matter of fact, the person in the truck left the scene of the accident, and due to witnesses, the police was able to capture him and talk to him about the situation. I'm not exactly sure what happened. And the motorcyclist that hit my son, he was injured, but not real bad. Never heard a word from him.
I can barely stand right now. Everything is crashing down. And I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray. I don't always know what to say. But you're the one that can hear my heart.
But immediately upon the death of our son, the Lord moved in our hearts to intentionally forgive these people. My husband and I hit the floor on our knees, and we chose to forgive these people. I don't remember the person's name that drove the truck. Like I said, it's been about 24 years ago, and I don't think he's alive anymore, but I just praise God for his forgiveness that he gives us so that we can give it freely to others. Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
You know, we wanted to share that story with you here at the end of the program today because it's a human example of forgiveness. Forgiveness like that would not be possible without the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, who was willing to forgive us for our sins. It's an amazing thing. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, even before he made the world, think of it, we're talking about eternity past, right? Even before he made the world, God loved us, and he, let me make it personal. God loved you, and he chose you in Christ. And do you know him? Have you received him? Have you allowed Christ to come into your life? Now, it's got to be more than an intellectual idea. It's got to be more than listening to Christian radio or even reading your Bible or going to church. Have you had an encounter with the creator of the universe? Have you had an encounter through Christ who died on the cross, was buried, and on the third day arose from the grave? The scripture says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. That's the beginning point. There's nothing magical about the words, but to open your heart and say, God, I am a sinner. And because of your intentional love, I know that I can have eternity with you. And I ask you today to come into my life and be my Savior. If that's a decision you've made, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to know that. Share with us. You're welcome to come to our website and share with us at theintentionallife.com. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you have a blessed Easter weekend. And from all of us here at the Intentional Living Center, Happy Easter.